say what you want to say in these next few moments. Just have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Not my words, not my opinions. Let what you've given me be said clearly so that we can take hold of it, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. You guys, just stay up here because I want to go somewhere after this, but yeah, what a great night already. What a great night. If they play at that volume, can y'all still hear me fine? Yeah? That's okay? No? Can y'all get a little quieter maybe? Yeah. Some are honest. That's good. That's good. All right. With doing the three nights of worship, I didn't know if the Lord was going to have me speak on anything or not. And I had some things prepared, but today, actually, when we got here, the Lord started downloading a couple thoughts to me. And I know I always say this won't take long and then it takes an hour, but I really don't think this is going to take long because this is a very specific word to this three nights of worship, these 3 days of fasting. And we're going to close tonight in communion. Not communion just remembering that the Lord died for us, but a sealing of the invitation to the bread that is the Lord. He is who we feast on. When Jesus left, when he resurrected, Mary clung to him. And she was calling out Messiah, teacher. And Jesus says, don't cling to what you remember. Cling to my glory and my resurrection. Glory in the coming ascension. And what that means, I talked about a little bit already, but what it means is we can't just praise Jesus for a historical figure who died on the cross. He died on the cross. He saved us from our sins. He liberated us from death and curse and bondage. But there's more. And that more is clinging to him in his glory and his ascension. In his ascension, we ascended. We ascended above curse. We ascended above strongholds. We are with him in the resurrection of who he is, and we are to never be held down. But I believe one of the biggest places we get held down, y'all still hear me okay? One of the biggest places we get held down is we think discipleship has to be limited to deep theological studious concepts. And I think the biggest place that the church needs to be discipled in is learning how to worship in freedom. It's a beautiful thing when we can just worship with abandon. Abandoning sense of self-preservation. Abandoning embarrassment. Abandoning everything and just saying, Lord, I'm going to give you everything. Abandoning everything and saying, Lord, I'm giving you everything. I want to bring up a passage, an all too familiar passage, and I have a few, but I think I'm going to stay here. It's the Acts chapter 16. It's in Spontaneous Sermon 2. Yeah, there we go. I've got all kinds of things I'm just leaving up there. All right, I'm going to read verses 23 through 34. This is Paul and Silas, just to give you some context. They had just been arrested. The reason they were arrested is because basically they called out a woman who was operating in the spirit of Python. What that is she was operating in, she was a medium. She was psychic, if you will. And when they started ministering and calling things out, all of a sudden they didn't make any more money. The people doing the readings, if you will. Kind of like when you go downtown and people are making money off of telling your future. And just to give you a heads up, if you've done that, you need to break some curses off of you because that happened as soon as you came into agreement with it. Don't get mixed up in witchcraft. I'm gonna say something, but I want you to hear the whole thought, okay? Everyone knows, most people know my stance on the holiday that's coming up this Friday, Halloween. It's my personal conviction that I don't take part in it. But I'm going to give you some tools and resources for families that do. If you take part in it, skip the homes that are covered in the images of death. When they dress up their yards in gravestones and tombstones and blood and demons, skip those homes. Don't celebrate death this Halloween. We were created to celebrate life. On the other side of that, parents, if you're going to take your kids trick-or-treating, you cannot argue the fact that Halloween is one of the highest demonic holidays of the year. So before they eat that candy, cast curses off of that candy. Break curses off whatever tries to attach to your kids. Don't, if you're going to do it, don't take it casual. Is that fair? Is that fair? Having said that, getting back to the scripture, they weren't making any more money off of what she was doing. So they took Paul and Silas outside of the town and brought them to the Roman guards, if you will, and had them arrested. And Paul and Silas get thrown in jail. It says in verse 23, after they were severely beaten, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them securely. So the jailer placed them in the innermost cell of the prison and had their feet bound and chained. You know what? I didn't see that till just now. No joke. Did you catch that? It wasn't just in the cell. It wasn't just in the jail. It was in the innermost place. In the temple, the dwelling place of God, you have the courtyard where you enter in with thanksgiving and praise. You have the holy place, and then you have the most holy place, the innermost place where the Lord dwells. Paul and Silas went into a perversion of the innermost place. And you know what they started doing? Worshiping in the innermost place, in the darkest place. You know what the perversion is of the jail? It was dark. This is going to make sense to you in a second. Verse 25. Paul and Silas, undaunted, I love that. They were beaten, thrown in jail, and it didn't shake them. They were beaten and thrown in jail, and it did not shake them. American Christians get shaken by every tragedy, every event, from the White House. We get shaken by uncomfortable worship. I'm gonna keep going. They were unshaken. They were undaunted. They prayed in the middle of the night and sang songs of praise to God while the other prisoners listened to their worship. They were giving songs of praise in the midst of being beaten and jailed and in cold, dark, innermost place of the jail. And then in verse 26, everyone shouts suddenly, a great earthquake shook the foundation of the prison. And all at once, every prison door flung open and the chains of the prisoners came loose. Startled, the jailer awoke and saw that every cell door was standing open. Assuming that all the prisoners had escaped, he drew his sword and he was about to kill himself when Paul shouted in the darkness, stop, don't hurt yourself, we're all still here. I'm gonna pause right there. Hear this. What was going on in that moment, there was a sound of worship in a place that was not used to that sound. There is an unfamiliar sound of heaven in the jail. One of the biggest things we need to take from this three nights of worship is don't be timid to bring the unfamiliar sound of praise into familiar sounds of hurt, pain, failure, oppression, depression. When you get depressed, start bringing unfamiliar sound into your depression, and depression will have to bow to what's in the room. Some of you may think I'm crazy, but as I was over here, I was standing here kind of reading some scripture, praising, and I looked over here and I saw an angel standing against the wall watching the room. Did anyone else happen to have images of angels tonight? Yep, one. That sounds crazy to some of you, but I think we've got to get a little bit more familiar with the crazy. Like, for me, the Lord is not theoretical. For me, heaven on earth is not theoretical. It's not just an idea. It's we have permission to enter into the presence of heaven by way of the one who broke down every divisive wall, who broke down every chain and said, I'm going to cleanse you with my blood. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be bruised. And I'm going to bring you into a day where you can enter in the presence of heaven right here and right now. So when we bring unfamiliar praise, like deeper praise, deeper worship without abandon, it should not surprise us when we see angels among us. You want to know why? Because what's unfamiliar to us is familiar to them. Did you write something about angels by any chance? No? I don't know. You're a writer, so I'm going to ask. I'm going to start asking all kind of stuff. That was a word last night, y'all. They were bringing unfamiliar praise. And you know what happened in the natural? The earth responded. Because you know why the earth responded in that moment? Because the earth is groaning. I have another message prepared. I'm going to give you a little bit of it. We're told to pray in the Spirit at all times. And that the Spirit is groaning for us. Sometimes we need to be so submitted to the Lord that we start praying prayers we never planned to pray, because you're submitting to groanings that you were not understanding. And I'm gonna push deeper on theology for a second. Groanings don't have to be tongues. Groanings are all of a sudden you're in worship and the Lord says, start praying for someone's wound to be healed. You didn't go in to pray for that. But the Spirit has been interceding on you. And if we're submitted to supernatural intercession, supernatural, the Holy Spirit, then His intercession becomes your intercession, and you and your authority in Christ speaks the word of what the Holy Spirit's been praying for the entire time. You have to be submitted to say, Lord, I'm going to pray whatever you urge me to pray, because I know you've been wanting to get this out into the earth for a while. I am your willing vessel. I am your willing servant. Here it is. Is this making sense? Okay. Unfamiliar sound in a place that did not know what it was, and all of a sudden earth heard the groanings and it shook. Not going to find this in scripture, but I believe that shaking was a thank you. It submitted to the praise. The doors flung open. Watch what happens next. Paul said, don't hurt yourself. We're here. And this is, to me, one of the most powerful lines in the text. And the jailer called for a light. That's never stood out to me until today. I'm going to get into that. The jailer called for a light. When he saw that they were still in their cells, he rushed in and fell trembling at their feet. Did you pick up on this? The same jailer who bound them is now scared of them, because he's recognizing an authority that he had not ever encountered. You want to really change this area? We walk into such a superb natural expression of worship that all authorities fear and tremble at the authority in what's called the church. And the authority that is seen in the church is not people who are holding up signs walking outside protesting. It's a people who lift up such a shout of praise in their spirit and their submission and their groanings that the earth responds to heaven's presence. Saw that they were still in their cells, he rushed in, he trembled at their feet. Verse 30, Then he led Paul and Silas outside and asked, "What must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and all your family." And then they prophesied the word of the Lord over him and all of his family. And even though the hour was late, he washed their wounds. And then he and all of his family were baptized. And he took Paul and Silas into his home, set them at his table, fed them. And the jailer and his family were filled with joy in their newfound faith in God. Now I'm going to go back to verse 29. The jailer called for a light. Which means he was in the darkness the entire night. And he was comfortable in his darkness until praise shifted the atmosphere. He was comfortable being in the dark. And then when praise shifted the atmosphere, he called for a light. And when he called for the light, the first thing he heard was a sound. And what he heard was a sound of truth through Paul saying, "Stop." He heard the sound of Paul saying, "Stop. Don't hurt yourself. We're here." Because when the voice of truth spoke, he overcame fear, and then he called for a light to lead into a path, into a place that was shaken by worship. This is my question for you tonight. Are you willing to run into the places where only light can lead you? Some of you don't know whether to clap or run. Because you need light for a path you've never walked in. And for many of us, our biggest struggle is walking into a path of free expression of glory to the Lord. And I'm here to give you the voice of truth. Don't be afraid. Breakthrough into free expressions of worship is going to be messy. I'm going to read a word that my wife gave me today. The process may be messy, but the outcome is still breakthrough. You know what that means? It means that as we're moving forward and saying, "Lord, have my everything," there's going to be moments where we hit it, we hit the mark, it's great. And there's going to be moments where it is the most awkward expression of worship you've ever been a part of. And people are going to give words to the Lord, and most of the time they're going to be right, hopefully, but sometimes they're going to be wrong. And we have to be willing to say, it's going to be messy. But the outcome is still breakthrough, because the Lord does not delight when his people get it right. The Lord delights in those who are pursuing him. And in our pursuit of him, we're going to get it wrong and we're going to get it right. You know, and you know what that's called? The permission to get it right and get it wrong? Mercy. Grace. Patience. He called for the light and he went into a familiar place for him that just became unfamiliar. He went down to that innermost jail. And he had a conversation and brought them out. And the voice of truth and this light of the Lord caused his jailer to say, "I need something different. How will I be saved?" Uncomfortable moments of worship are synonymous with paths not walked. And there is a truth that there's going to be times when these worship leaders who look really comfortable right now are going to say things like, "Get out your seats." They're going to say things like, "Get on your knees." They're going to say things like, "Lay on the floor." There's going to be times when your pastor gets up here and says, "Hey, dance around like a fool. Dance like David danced. Just keep your clothes on." There's going to be times when we're going to invite each other into these expressions of worship. And we have to say, "Lord, We're letting your light and your truth guide us into these uncomfortable expressions so that we can walk into a new expression that we don't know what it looks like. Did you know in Acts chapter 2, when the tongues of fire came above their heads, some translations actually liken it more to a pillar of fire that became divided to where every single believer had their own pillar? And what it was referring to a moment in the Old Testament where they were led through breakthrough. In other words, every believer had a pillar of fire that was leading them to their own personal breakthrough and authority to walk in the name of Jesus. And you know how that happened? They didn't call a prayer, they didn't call a worship night meeting. They didn't call a church social event. They didn't know what it was. They didn't know what to do. They didn't call a 21-day fast. They didn't call a 14-day fast. They didn't call 3 days of prayer. They just said at that time, let's get together and we're just going to be together in the presence of the Lord and whatever happens, happens. And you know what happened? Whatever happened, happened. The only expectation they had was come be in the presence of the Lord with like believers. Tonight, I invite all of us into a deeper level of Lord, whatever. But Lord, whatever is going to cause sacrifice. It requires brokenness. You know, in the story where Mary broke the alabaster box and poured it all over Jesus? Y'all know that story? That's the story, if you ever heard it. She breaks an alabaster jar of oil, pours it all over his feet. Some versions say his head. There's two things about that passage. Number one, the perfume in the alabaster jar was made of spikenard. It cost 1 year's of wages. So she poured out a costly worship. But here's the other part that many of us don't hear. In those times, the jar that would hold the nard, it had a long neck. And you know how you broke open the jar to get the perfume? You had to break the neck open. So it was a costly worship and it was a brokenness. And a lot of us in this place, in this church, in this area, in the world, will say amen all day to things like, I'll give you a sacrifice of praise. You don't like it when leaders bring you into a place of brokenness where it breaks your religion. It breaks your ways. I've had many people come to Relentless saying, we're coming to this church because we love the way you teach. And then as soon as I start shifting the way I teach, they leave. Because they love the idea of learning about Jesus, but when it requires a brokenness of their ways, we're either in or we're out. And that's not a rebuke to them. But there is a special calling for a people here to go deeper into expressions that we're not used to. And a people who get bold in that and say, Lord, whatever, there's going to be moments in your life where someone who is calling for light will hear your voice. And you will know exactly what to say and how to say it. And you won't do this whole, let me call my pastor. You won't do this, let me refer to the text. You'll just blurt it out. This is what the Lord says. And it will be so powerful and so transformational that you don't have to have a Bible study to prove what just happened. And if you're newer here, I want you to hear me on this. I love Bible study. I love studying Scripture. I love teaching Scripture. I'm not against Bible study. I'm not against studying the Word. I'm not against opening it. What I am against is exalting a biblical text over an experience with the Holy Spirit. Because the whole point of the text was to bring us into Holy Spirit experience. It's going to cost us something. We got to break some of our expectations. Well, I didn't come to church for that. Break your expectation and come to church for whatever. Someone just shout whatever. Just whatever. I want Peewee to come share a word and then we're going to move into communion. And when we take communion tonight, when Pee-wee's done with his word, whoever is scheduled to come get these communion trays, go ahead and set up, and we're going to move into a time we're going to take communion together, and we're going to sing one more song, if that's okay, after communion. And after that song, y'all dismiss us when you feel it's right, whether it's 10 seconds or 10 hours, whatever. It's whatever. Amen.
Talking about Moses. As we know, as the Israelites began to come out of captivity, slavery, they were led by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And it's funny that it took, as they led out, the whole time they had provision by God. Even when they come along, they begin to complain about things didn't happen the way they wanted. What is it? They began complaining about being hungry, and God met their needs. And the thing today, when I was outside working in my yard, and the Lord began showing me something, because something we began to experience this week is we began talking about freedom. And something the Lord said is that don't take freedom for granted. Because you can be bound up and in freedom. And the thing he began showing me was the Israelites for 40 years were free with the mindset of a slave. And the thing is if we got to let all of it go. Because the thing is, God began showing me this house is the Joshua generation. And the thing is everything in the past can't go where we're called to go. Everybody, you see it all the time, talking about the Joshua generation, the young people. The Joshua generation is every person in this room. And the thing that God began showing me says in Joshua 5:2, it said, at the time the Lord told Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the second generation of Israelites. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the entire male population of Israel. Think about that. Taking a rock. You're talking about being dedicated. Joshua had to circumcise them because all the men who were old enough to fight in battle when they left Egypt had died in the wilderness. Those who left Egypt had all been circumcised, but none of them born after the Exodus during the years of the wilderness. Ain't it funny? The wilderness is the place you begin to get your stuff together. had been circumcised. The Israelites had traveled the wilderness for 40 years until all the men were old enough to fight in battle. When they had left Egypt, had died. For they had disobeyed the Lord, and the Lord vowed would not let them enter into the land he had sworn to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So Joshua circumcised their sons, those who have sworn to give us, let's say, the land. Don't be circumcised the way for promised land. After all the males had been circumcised, they rested in the camp. They were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the shame and slavery in Egypt. So that place had been called Gilgal to this day. While the Israelites were camped in Gilgal, on the plains of Jericho, they celebrated Passover and then entered into the 14th day of the first month. The very next day, they began to eat unleavened bread and roasted grains harvested for the land. No manna appeared on the day they first ate the crops of the land. They had been being provided for all them years. Even when they first crossed over, God provided. One of the most awesome things, as this thing closes, the time the Israelites were into Canaan, it says, when Joshua had neared the town of Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a sword in hand. Joshua went up to him and demanded, "Are you a friend or foe?" "Neither one," he replied. "I am the commander of the Lord's army." At this, Joshua fell on his face on the ground in reverence. "I am at your command," Joshua said. "What do you want from your servant to do?" The commander of the Lord's armies replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground." And the thing is, I think it's so awesome because Kyle didn't even know this part. He said that he's seen what? An angel. And the thing is if where we're going, this is holy ground. And I feel it so strong. Do you realize what's sitting in the seats? We begin the last few weeks talking about identity. When this house begins to get it figured out, to realize what's inside you. What's inside you and you and you. What can we do for the kingdom? I think this is so pivotal for this house. Because the thing is we're not called to the same work as everybody else. We're different. We're going to have different people walk in through these doors. And they're going to be set free because this is holy ground. So, I want to know, has anybody had the Lord speak that over their life? The Joshua generation. Does that touch something inside you? I feel like the Lord said that there is people in here that the Lord has been very specific. I say y'all begin to step forward. Begin to step forward. Begin to walk in the promise. The thing is, if you're going to begin to change a generation, someone has to begin to step up. If this house is going to be something that's going to change, we talked about all this stuff. We talked about racism. We talked about all this thing. Who's willing to step forward? Because the thing is what people out there is looking for is an authentic thing. When people's got cancer, they expect it to be gone. And that's what this house is. I just say right now, whoever feels like that you're tied to that, step forward.
As they're stepping forward, I want to remind you, in case you don't know Joshua generation, Moses led them in exile for 40 years. And when Moses died, they stepped over the river. The church can be in one of two places. We can stay in things that have happened, or we can cross over the river and say, we're going to go into places we haven't seen without any sort of reservation. So I want to bring that call again. If you're a part of that generation, step forward. And I want to speak this as they're still stepping forward. All my life I've heard older people say things like, this just encourages me for the younger generation to get it. The truth of the matter is, the older generation doesn't need to hope that the younger generation gets it. They need to follow what the younger generation is getting so that we can all be identified in a Joshua generation. But it's going to take boldness and courage to walk into things that we haven't seen.
I just want to begin to just pray. Father God, we just thank you for people that's willing to step out and never look back. God, how can we continue to press forward if we're always looking over our shoulder? So God, we say from this day forward, we press forward into your purpose. God, I pray that each person here begins to walk in their divine identity. God, I pray that you begin to awaken the thing that has been lying dormant. The other night, the Lord said, come out of hiding. It was very clear. And God, I pray right now that there's no more hiding. As Kyle said, that there was a light came on in the cell. God, I pray that your light begins to shine in each person's lives right now, God. God, I pray that they begin to just, the yearning begins to just rise up from within them, God. God, I pray that they begin to see their destiny and they can tangibly feel it. They can smell it. God, I just thank you right now for what you're about to do through each person here and in this house, God. So God, I just begin to release this over this house, over each person. God, I pray that your anointing begin to just operate freely because all chains are broken. And we just thank you, God, for true freedom. In Jesus' name.